Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love maddening technical difficulties. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Sweet Jesus, How Long Is This Gonna Last? With another Homes Alone edition of your favorite comedy, movie, game show podcast. It's Sunday, September 27th, 2020, and my guests today are Amy Miller, John Gabris, and Baron Vaughn. Hello, everybody.
Woo! Hi, Doug.
Hello.
Hi, Doug.
Love you, Doug.
A very polite group, everybody. It sounds like you went in alphabetical order, but I'm going to change it up and say hi to you individually, starting with Amy Miller. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Doug. How's it going?
It's going good. You sound crisp.
I'm so glad. I'm staying at your pad. I sent you a picture of that last night.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What it said something about Doug's?
I'm just in like an Airbnb in the desert, and the sign outside the house says Doug's pad.
Doug's pad.
There's just like a painted plaque.
Yeah.
We know Doug's pad.
I hope that the house is as nicely appointed as that sign.
It's lovely.
Was it good inside? Was it nice? Is it nice inside?
It is nice. There's a lot of really hilarious tchotchkes. It's hard for me to not steal them. I will say that for sure, but I don't.
Do you think for them it's kind of a lost leader? They get a lot of cheap tchotchkes and just think, you know, if people take them, they'll think they're doing something sneaky, but we don't care.
I don't know. I think they probably just hope that people will be decent enough not to be adult kleptos. Which I'm not, but in my former life, I definitely would have taken several ceramic turtles by now.
I take a pillow from every hotel room I stay in, and I've never complained, and I have the best pillow fort you'll ever see.
Where do you keep all the pillows?
I got to walk through them to get from the bedroom to the kitchen.
It's going to be nice if you ever fall down.
Oh my God, I don't fall down. It's, you know, it's just a soft tunnel to get from one room to the other. I'm going to take it to Shark Tank.
So Shark.
Old people need soft tunnels. Thank you for being here.
Soft Tunnels is the name of my OnlyFans.
Jesus.
Amy, it's Sunday. Come on.
Well, I mean, he has one hole. I presume, so that's where my head went.
All right. So, yeah, John Gabris is here and just contributed that.
Oh, yes. One hole Gabris.
Yeah. Yeah. And Amy, thanks for presuming I only have one hole. And that's why we get along.
I don't mean to assume.
No.
You only have one hole that you would like to have punched. You're one hole punched.
Yeah, I'm a one hole punch kind of guy.
Just one soft tunnel. The other one's a little bristly.
Same tunnel, different bends.
I actually have written here, John Gabris, hello, same question. Like, did I just ask Amy a question?
I think it was, you sound crisp, where are you? So for me...
Hey, John, you sound crisp, where are you?
I'm in the spare bedroom in my apartment. AKA my desk. Yeah, I don't... I'm in no place special. This is... This is John's pad.
All right. You're not going to give us anything geographically?
Oh, yeah. Just give my address. The bathroom window doesn't lock. No, I live in West Hollywood. I'm almost 40. I live in an apartment, and I'm living the dream here. Doing dishes. You know, the standard pandemic vibe.
Yeah. I think...
You got a spare bedroom. That's pretty good.
Yo, no, that is tight. I will admit, I've been practically living here.
All right. And also joining us and very patiently waiting for me to find out about the crispness of the other guests. Baron Montague. Hey, Baron.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me? You can hear me, right?
Yes.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
No, I have been patiently waiting. I don't want to step all over the you know, the bits, jokes, and gags of
I got no problem with that, as you can riffs. See right now.
Yeah,
hot, you know, riffs.
Riffy Longstocking. No, I'm coming into this world. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. How you doing, Doug?
So do you think you're saying like that you could tend to hang back in these are you getting used to these Zoom shows?
Yeah, because I mean, as we all know, comedy is about timing. And because we live in a country with the worst internet in the quote unquote developed world, we all have very different Wi-Fi situations. And yeah. So when I do shows, like, I don't care if people are laughing or not, because the only thing it'll tell me is how fast their Wi-Fi is. Like, if someone's laugh gets to me before someone who's on HughesNet, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I don't care. Like, it's like, I'm just used to all the timing being off now, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like everything is that joke, the knock-knock joke where you say interrupting cow, and they say interrupting cow who, but before you get to the end of it.
Yes, the old premature cow. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Moo! You just feel just are mooing immediately without hesitation.
Yeah, but I'm over here tagging, you know, jokes, but I don't want to, you know, there was already gold being mined. You know, what am I going to do? Come in there and get a couple pieces of bronze? No, let the people who are in their pan.
That's what scared me off of, I wasn't excited about doing shows in a situation where everybody's in their cars at a drive-in or a parking lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I just thought, what is going to stop people from just honking all the time? Even if it's meaning they like it, I still don't. How do you interpret that if people are just honking?
Nothing. They just honk. I've been to several and they just fucking honk.
They just do it?
They just do it.
That's laughing, though. That's
part of
the laughing, though, isn't it?
This is going to blow your mind.
Sometimes it's a heckle.
This is going to blow your mind, Amy.
God.
They have a no honking rule at the Magic Castle one, and people really don't honk.
Or maybe they're not perfect. Laughing at you, Doug.
No, they give out, this is the craziest part. I'm going to whisper this part. They give out little clapper toy things.
Oh, no.
To every car. And when they like a joke or when they're responding like applause, like it would normally be used, they clap those things. And it sounds weird, but it's very clear where they are with you during your act. You know, you can tell when you're killing. And I think they also clap, and they just use them more because it's fun for them to participate. So it's fun to do.
how does that feel to you, like, rhythmically? Like, you know, you can't ride that like a real
life. It doesn't bother me because, you know, I my timing is sort of my own. So, like, I can...
That's a way to phrase that.
The name of my OnlyFans.
The laughter itself, the clapping noises isn't loud enough. It's not louder than me. Like, it would be in, like, in a club situation sometimes, you know? Like, it's, I can just do it. I can just do the delivery. Because also, you can't really look at anyone because it's all windshields. I tell them it looks like I'm a comedian that the city in the Pixar movie Cars hired to come and do a show for all the cars. Because there's no people. It's just like standing in a car lot doing your act and while locusts are going crazy.
But the thing is that in the Cars universe, you would be, I'd probably call you Doug Bentley. That would be your name. And everybody would be like, he's a Bentley. It's like, this dude works very hard. I don't know why anyone's surprised. Here's a question. I have a pitch for the group about stand-up comedy. And
ready.
So once I was in South Africa, hashtag worldly, and I was being driven, I was like on a freeway or highway, if you will, with the driver. And he taught me this thing. I'd never seen this because obviously I'm not from South Africa. So it was like a highway where you have to pass people, but you have to, you know, you can only pass at certain places. So whenever you pass, you would pass a person, they'd slow down for you to pass, and then you'd flash your blinkers. And he would flash his blinkers every time he passed someone. He, like, double flash him. I'm like, what is that? He's like, oh, that's how we say thank you. That's how we say thank you for letting me pass.
Oh,
and I was
shit.
Like, whoa, weird. And he's like, yeah, and if you don't do it, people will take it very seriously. You know, it's just a simple courtesy. And I was like, interesting. So I was wondering, like, what would you think at comedy shows if people were, like, flashing their, like, headlights and blinkers? Maybe that might induce some very bad states for some people. So, you know, let's.
I like the light flashing.
Light flashing.
Yeah.
You're kind
of a real Mr.
Queen.
Holland's Opus kind of comic, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd mind it. It's funny. You have some headlights on anyway, because some cars, you got to have the, you know, it's got to be turned on so they can listen to the radio. They have to leave the engine running, basically.
They don't have to leave the lights on. They're just being dumb.
Okay, I'm gonna tell them that tonight.
How do you guys feel about if you let someone in on the road and they don't wave thank you back? Like, I'm with that South African driver. If I let you in, you don't give me a wave or like a thumbs up or something.
I hate it.
That's very infuriating. And I don't know why. It just really upsets me. I'm like, you
then you're getting
say
a special
you.
Wave for me with only one finger involved.
Oh,
it's
shit,
very
dude.
Small, but it is the tallest of the group.
It's the biggest I got.
The tallest of the group. I love that.
It's so sad when I flip people off because I have like toddler hands. It's very unthreatening, but I feel good.
That's right. You do have very small hands, don't you?
They're so freakishly tiny.
I have small hands too. I'm assuming they're bigger than yours because I'm starting from a larger frame, but I have like surprisingly small hands for my body.
I love that you had to pause to think of how to describe yourself physically. Yeah. And I love
in
that
comparison
that's what you came
to
up
me.
With.
Yeah.
In comparison to everyone on this Zoom and possibly most of the listeners, I'm well, not podcast listeners, but probably a few guys hanging around my size. but I'm a big boy and I have tiny little hands.
Yeah.
Something I've been dealing with for years. I apologize.
Doug's got a lot of big boy fans, and it's one of my favorite things about his shows. I'm often one of the thinner ladies in the room. But I adore them. They couldn't be sweeter. This sounds like it's just my voice. It's not insulting. I love them.
And these are reasons that I hang back, Doug.
I just always notice like a lot of chubby people, and I feel so grateful.
Oh, yeah. Anytime I do a podcast meet and greet, I'm like, well, this is where all my twins are hanging out. It's just like cargo short modeling session. Yes.
It's like a double whammy for me because I think podcast listeners sit a lot and, you know, don't move around as much as maybe they should. But then also people who love movies. spend long periods of time, you know, barely moving. So
and then pot smokers, you got like a you got
well,
a
that you know, the whole it's all, that's a whole other thing. But it's interesting though that like when you think of a stereotypical pot smoker, you kind of think of Shaggy. You kind of think of the skinny, you know, when you hear the word stoner.
Oh, you mean Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
I think of a skinny person.
I thought you meant Mr. Boombastic for 5 seconds.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't him.
Oh, no. Oh. Good.
How could I forget that I had given you an extra key, like just a straight opening for that freaking joke?
That's where my spare key went.
Oh my God, that dude, that song, he's in such denial.
No, that's the
he
that's
says it
national...
so many times it makes you think it probably was
that was
I
a hit
was. I think that's it wasn't the, him
it's like the national anthem of gaslighting. That's the whole it's just that's the whole point of that song. It's just like it wasn't me.
Yeah, but it wasn't me.
The Shaggy doth protest too much.
He thinks he doth gaslight too much. Yeah. Yes, what were you saying, Doug? Do you love movies?
I think so. And
talking about high metabolism stoners.
Yeah, but people, this is a good
I've dated a lot of them.
I would kill to be one.
Yeah, I know. It'd be so awesome. But I think I'm getting there. I think I'm getting, I finally may be able to manage it a little bit. you know, like when you eat foods that aren't good for you, eat the ones where one bite, the flavor is going to stay in your mouth for an hour. You know what I mean? So don't have to eat the whole thing, cause you're going to have the flavor anyway. Huh. Is that gross?
Can you give me an example of what one of those foods is?
Pumpkin pie.
Your health plan is to eat pumpkin pie. Got it.
It's working, John.
I know. That's what's killing me.
It's moderation. I just mean moderation. I just had to really like be like, just stop eating just because, you know, I love food, obviously. So, you know, just eating for the sake of enjoying the food. It's same thing with drinking. Now I don't drink vodka anymore because it doesn't, what's it doing? You know, it's not a flavor that I crave. So now I, you know, just have wine, you know, a little bit of wine each night. And even that, I pour wine into water. I water down my wine. And I still like it. I still like it, you know? So it's like, well, then why go full wine if you can get by with this other crap?
Well, Doug, have you ever heard of Calimucho?
No.
Someone once told me about this drink that they have in Spain, and it's red wine and cherry Coke.
Oh yeah, that's like a Basque drink. They love the Basque people like to mix red wine and Coca-Cola.
I might also be saying it wrong, but I heard that from like someone, like some European person that wasn't from Spain.
And
I
was hashtag like, worldly. Dope.
Hashtag worldly AF.
Yeah, we.
When it comes to metabolism, I can't control my portions. I have to control the content. So I have to like make myself something big and semi-healthy. And that way, because I just can't stop myself. So I just limit, like, I'm not allowed to have ice cream because I'll crush a quart. But I'll have like sweet potatoes and like chicken breasts by like the fucking Tupperware full. That's like my health plan, which is not, it's
so
not
so full of salad. I got so high.
And if you look at me, you know, it's not fully working, but I'm trying.
Y'all, I feel like I should almost write a book right now because I am technically, I guess you could call me a high metabolism stoner, right?
Hell yeah.
I call myself.
You have like crazy allergies, right? Like there's not even that you can eat like two things.
Well, that's because my metabolism is so damn good. My body shuts me down when it's like, nah, son, do you want to stay alive or not? Dip butter out your body. That shit is so very naughty. You know, it always sings to me. But the thing that I'm trying to say is, I'm allergic to a lot of things, but that's just me. But I think it would still work for a lot of people. You don't have to stop eating like, you know, dairy or gluten or any of that shit. You know, I'm just saying like add other things into the rotation because for me, like cooking when I'm high is the dopest. I'm telling you, you because your senses are like, at least mine are on fire, you know? So like when I smell like a spice, it's like I've smelled it like I've never smelled it before. You know, it's like the same thing as biting into some nice cheesy pizza, except it's just the oregano, bruh. I'm just saying.
It's I love the same coming on Doug Loves Diets.
Yeah, I'm over here kicking myself because I didn't eat before doing this show. Oh, and that all sounded so good. But yeah, I'll get through it. You know what's going to get me through it?
I'm going to give you a simple stoner recipe, bro. I'm going to give you that.
For reals?
Oh yeah, man. It's super healthy, super quick, and you'll be like, oh, I ate.
I eat whatever I want and it is working.
No shame.
It's going great.
I don't want to shame mofos. You know, no? Okay.
Oh, I know you're not.
I'm upset.
Yeah. None of us has good advice. It all involved getting really high.
Yes, including my advice.
Somebody with legit ways of being healthy is shaming the rest of us, in my opinion.
Say what?
Just having a legitimate way to stay healthy, that shames a lot of people because we all convince ourselves what we're doing is going to work out. And some cases it does. You just never know.
I just think that whole one size fits all thing is dumb.
It's so dumb.
That's it.
All right, we out.
Yes, indeed. Just zoom, zoom, zoomed all up in this subject's boom, boom.
So somebody, I'm doing, cameos on the Cameo app, and I'll appear briefly from time to time for a little cash, and somebody wants me to wish their son a happy birthday, and their son's a movie buff. And, you know, this always puts me, I don't know what to say when they're like, "Rec, please recommend a movie." Those are the parameters, is it just has to be a movie.
Not even a genre?
No, just...
How old is he?
Please recommend a good movie. I forget the age, but...
Fatal Attraction.
Let's say 42.
He's
but just
seven.
Does anybody have a movie they saw recently that's kind of a foolproof recommendation? Like you think it's something for everybody?
I mean, I rewatched Detroit Rock City last night, and I think if the kid is like above 7 or 8, up to any age, I think it's pretty surefire hit. It's very fun.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. This could be a toddler. Yeah,
right. They didn't even say the age.
I think they might have, but I forgot that part because to me the most crucial part was that they didn't really narrow it down for me in terms of like any kinds of movies or anything. And I just feel like they just want, you know, maybe something that's kind of current that they just haven't seen for one reason or another, like a hidden gem. Because I always say Palm Springs right now because I love that movie.
Oh yeah,
but I don't know if that's something you recommend to anyone.
A child,
or anyone that's easily triggered by. I mean, that movie is funny, but it's also upsetting.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
It makes you think about some shit.
It's weird. It's a weird pandemic watch too, because it has some sort of like a little bit of commentary to that.
Yeah.
Living.
What are you talking
life?
About? Yeah. Everything's a weird pandemic watch. Everything I watch, people are hugging without masks. And I'm like, the fuck is this? Wait, Gabriel, were you going to suggest something?
Oh, I was recently my friend had a birthday, like a social distance backyard movie screening birthday for his like 10-year-old son. And we were brainstorming like a movie that would go like keep kids entertained. And we landed on Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Now I'm sure maybe this movie buff kid has seen that, but that's sort of universally enjoyed and kind of, it's short. It's got a lot of fun stuff happening. It looks beautiful on screen and there's nothing too weird, but there are some like large scares and shit. So, and, you know, kids of any age can get a little thrill.
That's a great recommendation.
That's a good recommendation.
If I didn't know the kid's age, I mean that is not something recent that I enjoyed, but
It's fun to watch again now after, you know, many years of it being in existence and mm-hmm. just marveling at the fact that the score from that movie is in a million things. It's it, like they use in commercials all the time. I'm always like, oh, Pee-wee.
And the fact that that movie just got made, that they were like, yeah, did you guys see this guy's Groundling show? It's like, well, we have a movie idea based off that. And it's this insane fucking adventure. It's so fun.
The whole story of all of that is insane. Like just kind of where his career went and the kids show and Lawrence Fishburne and what is happening?
And Phil Hartman was a writer on the movie, dude. Like that's a fucking prestige shit right there.
Ah, recommendation.
Larry Fishburne would be, I think they should do it before he dies. Cause I'm tired of these people dying and then they make a, you know, awesome movie about them. How cool would it be for an old person to see a movie about how awesome they were. And, and in his case, they should make it now. He was like 14 years old when he was in, you know, freaking wherever they were shooting Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was like 14 years old and he lied to them and said he was 18. and like he got in the, like he's one of the stars of the movie and he has this big part and it's just, and you know, of course he was also Larry Fishburne, and then years later he said, you know, hey everybody, it's I'm Lawrence. But to go from Apocalypse Now to Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you know, that transition alone is just an amazing career.
And Pee-wee's Playhouse, right? He's not in the
movie. Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Sorry. He was in the Playhouse.
Who else is in the Playhouse so small as Natasha Lyonne? She's like 6 or 7.
Wow.
She's one of the three kids who comes to visit.
That's so cool.
Oh, that rules.
That's really amazing. And, yeah, of course, the late, great Phil Hartman was the sailor dude that came by in the – He's in the you know, the original special that they did mm-hmm. at the Roxy on Sunset Strip.
Mary Lou Henner's in that too, right?
I think so.
That when you see that, it's like I always love watching like a movie from that era, or you know, especially a comedy, and you see all these people who are so influential. You know, I mean, I'm a true comedy nerd, unlike most comedians, but like unlike most.
Wait,
comedians,
do you like The Simpsons?
No, I hate it. No, I liked it better when it was on the Tracy Ullman show. Now, here's the thing.
Wow.
See?
Okay. Oh, Doug, you know who's in Detroit Rock City as a stripper / bartender? Aaron Berg.
Who?
Aaron Berg. Canadian / New York comedian Aaron Berg.
Really?
/ alt-right sort of friend of ours. Just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. He's like the bartender that also enters the stripping contest.
Wow.
Billy Buff at that time also. He's still ripped.
Oh my goodness. He's super alt-righty now.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of comedians that are.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a great way to juice your Patreon.
I know. It's true. I know they're making so much money.
It was a way to show people I was a proud boy. I have some recommendations.
On other ways to juice our Patreon?
Yes. Is that how you say it, Patreon? I was going to say Patreon. I was going to say it like I'm Antonio Banderas.
Patron.
Yes, please subscribe to my Patron.
Yeah. What do you got for movies, Baron?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, I work with Martin Sheen, and I've recently worked with Larry Fishburne. # worldly as fuck and bragging as fuck. No, Martin Sheen brings up Apocalypse Now a lot. He brings up Lawrence Fishburne a lot. It's actually kind of surprising. I think it's because I'm black.
He really does?
Yes, but you know, I also want to talk about it. I also want to talk about it, so I'm like cool with it. Okay, so here's my suggestion. I am going to go animation, but I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path, because I would assume that this parent who is asking you for a recommendation for their child is probably well-versed, you know, because they're asking you. They're a Doug Benson fan. And I would go with animation, but something that's like Kipo and the Two Strings.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh. That is a good one.
That's from the Coraline animation people, that high-end claymation animation company. Which name?
Yeah.
Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah.
Kupo or Kipo?
There's Kipo and the Wonder Beast and Kubo and the Two Strings.
You're right.
Yeah. Kubo. they also did Paranormal Norman. Yeah, no. And and Coraline, and there's one other one that they did.
Because all of those movies are also great recommendations as well.
Yeah, they're like works of art, those things, and it's just the amount of work that goes into them. It's really something. I'm glad they still pop one of those out every few years. Don't really feel like I need to see Chicken Run again. Did you hear they're remaking Chicken Run? That Chicken Run was already a remake of The Great Escape, but with chickens.
Oh my goodness! I had no idea that they were
doing that. And it's already perfect.
Yeah.
I rewatched it again a couple years ago, and it was so good. It was actually a lot darker than I remembered, and my niece was kind of horrified because the chickens were being slaughtered, and I was like, "Oh yeah, sorry."
That reminds me of, like, I showed my little brother Goonies, like, when he was like 10, and I was like, "You're gonna love this movie," and he fucking was like, when Sloth came on screen, he had like a meltdown, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I guess I forgot that that's kind of scary." And there's like dead bodies and all this shit in the beginning, and I was like, really never had thought about it like that.
You just remember that we had absolutely no supervision and watch whatever we want. And we were scared, but it just felt like a normal way to live.
Yeah, I was like, just I terrified. Watched Jade when I was 8.
But we've also learned that what, like, you know, white male directors thought was okay in the 70s turned out to be just awful. Yeah. Like, there's so many things that happen in movies that during a time when there was, you know, I always thought a pretty radical turn towards the better rather than worse, but boy, there's some weird shit.
Just a lot of peeking through a hole you made to see naked ladies.
No, whatever we repress, we suggest. Pretty good.
Did you say a movie, Baron, or we did?
Yeah, Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah. I thought you had, but I wasn't absolutely sure. Gosh, I'm still also trying to think of the name of the company that makes those movies, because they are really cool.
Isn't it DreamWorks?
Maybe they might distribute them, but who's
the company that makes? Oh, you mean like the studio?
Yeah.
And there's no way any of us can find out.
I know, I'm sitting at a computer.
Well, I don't like the listeners to think we're all like looking things up as we go, because then the games seem staged, you know?
Oh, Ryan says Laika, L-A-I-K-A.
Laika, yes, that's right. That's why we don't remember it. It's a tricky one.
Who said that? Some sort of high metabolism stoner?
Oh, there's a ghost on the show. Don't worry about it.
I thought you were at Doug's pad. Now Ryan is a ghost that lives in Doug's pad. It's getting complicated over there, Amy.
It's the weirdest thing. My friend died. He's really good at movie trivia, so he just shit to me during shows.
But through me, for some reason.
Yeah, and now everybody, now all the women haters know why I have to have you on so much, Amy.
I can hear the spirits of stoners past.
All right, so thanks for those recommendations. I'll just give a blanket. I'll just name all three of those movies in this cameo, and they'll think I really thought about it.
Has he seen Mr. Bean's Holiday? Or?
Is that the best Mr. Bean, though?
No, Bean is probably the best, right?
Just straight up Bean?
Yeah, regular Bean.
I thought that was about
not
that.
Refried. How did he not call the next movie Refried Bean?
Because because he's
British.
Wasn't, yeah, the British were scared of cultural appropriation a long time ago.
Oh, their beans aren't made good the first time around.
<That's true>. But do you guys know who, what's his name, Eugenio Derbez is? You ever heard of this dude?
Mm-mm. That's he the is, dude that was in the Overboard reboot,
yes,
right?
with was that Anna Faris that was with?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, there's this movie, How to
Marry a Latin Italian Lover or something like that. Yeah,
it's like How to Make Love Like a Like How to Something How to Marry a Latin Lover or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant. It is brilliant. That guy is incredible. But he's like a very, he's a physical comedian, I think, at the level of Rowan Atkinson. That's why I thought of him. So you said refried beans, and I was like, well, Eugenio Derbez is a very good, he's different than Rowan Atkinson, obviously, yeah. But like, he's just a really gifted comedic actor. Also, one question, is Laika that made Kubo and the Two Strings the same as like the lens? No, that's Leica, right? Nobody? Okay, bye.
So. Correct.
Yes, that's right.
I confused myself there for a second. I was like, wait, what's the question?
Wait a minute. Let's spell something.
Yes, sorry, that's right. Nobody check.
I'm obsessed with spelling, hence the magicness of myself.
I do like to, when I don't know how to spell something, I do like to take a swing at it first, just because then it's satisfying that ultimately you were right or spectacularly wrong. I've spelled asphalt wrong for forever.
You know what? I can't spell the word diarrhea. I've got it every fucking day, and I have no idea
how to spell it. I finally figured it out. You take let's say you're at the Denver airport,
uh-huh,
and you see Rhea Perlman. Uh-huh. Then you have D-I-A Rhea.
Okay.
So it's D-I-A-R-H-E-A.
I thought there were two R's.
That's not even correct. That's not even right.
I think you actually are correct.
Is it? That's the trick of it, is it's got less R's than we think. You know, like in that commercial for Pepto-Bismol, they go, diarrhea. It just sounds like a lot of R's.
It has the word Rhea at the end of it, which, as we all know, Rhea Butcher has a joke about that. But it is a good way to remember how to spell it as well. Rhea is at the end, then you got Dyer in the front.
Ryan's not sending me any messages about the spelling of diarrhea. I don't know. I think
it's D-I-A-R, Rhea?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did a category on this game show one time, Diarrhea Perlman.
rude.
I hope she didn't hear it, but everybody found it very amusing.
It's a really good pun. What are people's problems?
Exactly. We should play some games. We're
yes,
we're way behind at this point. So
I know. I hate enjoying people's company. You were going. Go on.
I know, right? It's terrible. So our first
we two must games, compete.
Yeah. Well, that's, it's funny you say that, Amy, because I do have a few guests on the show in the last few weeks and coming up that they prefer this over a show where it's more freestyle, everybody just saying, talking about whatever. Like, they like the fact that there's a game, because you just show up and play the game and you don't have to really say things that are going to get you 50 horrible comments on social media. You might get one comment saying, why didn't you know how to spell diarrhea?
I know. That's why I'm already worried about the Aaron Berg fans. That's why I got quiet. It'll be fine. I probably blocked them all already anyway.
I do have a philosophy to offer about that, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it goes like this.
I fucking love a short philosophy with no vowels. Well, I hate to interrupt how much fun we're having, but I'm going to throw to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. The first game we're going to play today is called How Long Is It? And in this game, I name a thing, and then each of you guess how long it is, and the closest without going over Price is Right style is the winner.
Great.
Here we go. How long? Oh, I should say also, I should establish an order. Let's go alphabetical on this. So we'll go John, Amy, Baron.
Last names, I guess?
Last names.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you listed by Amy in the phone book? It's the only example I have of lists of names.
Let's go in order of metabolism.
All right, turn your cameras off. All
right. John Gabrus will be on next week's episode.
John Gabrus has been bumped to a different division.
His body is larger than other people's.
Smaller than some.
How long in years has it been between, or was it, I should say, between the release of the Tom Hanks movie Splash and the Tom Hanks movie You've Got Mail? I was surprised by the answer. That's why it became a question on my show.
Okay, now I guess a number now, right?
Yes, you're first.
Okay. I'm going to say 12 years.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Without going over.
Shit.
12 years in a day would be a hilarious bid at this point. Just like they do on Price is Right.
Oh, we can do days and weeks?
I think it's only fair.
Okay.
What do you think, Baron?
I thought Amy was after.
Yeah, I'm just curious before she answers about what you're thinking. I got it wrong. Amy.
Oh man. I wish I was last. Okay. I'm gonna actually go 9 years.
Okay. You can also, everyone could change their answer at the end. You just have to lock into something. Okay, so Amy says 9. And 12 from John, Baron, Vaughn, answer the question.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell if you were talking to me or writing something down.
Your prescription is ready.
Yes, thank you very much. I got that ADD or all. My answer is, what were the movies again?
from Splash to You've Got Mail.
Splash, okay, yeah.
I don't get any wider than these movies.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking.
Apologies for that.
Well, Sleepless in Seattle and You Got Mail, I believe, are the same director, but Splash is not. But I also could be wrong about that. Splash is much earlier than Splash, I think, was before Sleepless in Seattle. I think Splash maybe is in the mid-80s. I'm going to say 8 years, 6 months, 3 days.
Uh-huh. Played. So let's recap. What's your final answer, John?
I feel bad changing it, so I'm going to stick with 12 years.
I love that.
I think I'm aggressively wrong now, but yeah. I'm sticking with it.
On you, Johnny, fair play. Amy?
I'm going to stick with 9 years.
All right. Wait, what was yours again, John?
12.
12, 9.
In the same amount of years, someone could be a slave. if that helps you remember it.
You know, usually I do love numbers in movie titles, but for that one, I make an exception. and I don't I don't love it.
Thank you.
I think it's not good on slavery.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, there goes your Patreon.
I know. I don't want to piss anybody off, but it's not nice.
I didn't see now them. I got to mute those replies.
I welcome them.
Okay, so Barrett says 8.
Well, now I'm rethinking it because I'm trying to think about when Splash is because, I mean, I did see 12 Years a Slave. One time I saw. I'll never see it ever again. But it was great in that sense of, seems accurate, and then I don't want to ever have it in my head. But
oh yeah, anybody that's like got that in their collection, I don't know what's up. You pretty much get the gist of it one time.
I do have a really controversial opinion about that film, though. That like literally nobody would probably ever think, which is that Chiwetel Ejiofor is not good in that movie. Okay, so my answer, I'm thinking Splash is about Bosom Buddies era, because he was still doing like movies when he was on Bosom Buddies. Was like Splash and some of those things, he was still on that show?
I think you gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
I think all you gotta do is say a number.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
You said 8 years, 6 months, and 3 days.
Yeah, but now I'm rethinking it, because I think that You've Got Mail might have been like more 97-ish. So I'm thinking maybe it's actually 10 years. I'm going to say 10 years on the dot.
Whoa.
All right, so you've got 10. John
you've
has...
got mail.
John has how many?
12.
Okay. John wins.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, so is it like 83 and 96 or something?
It's whatever 2 years that they made these movies that are 14 years apart.
You didn't look? Okay.
I didn't write down the years. I just wrote down how many years apart they are. But yeah, Baron was starting to figure out that like You've Got Mail was made way later than they made movies like You've Got Mail. Like it was his next movie after Saving Private Ryan. Like
yeah,
he went
I think
some
I,
of the most realistic.
98.
Yeah, he went from horrifyingly realistic war footage to like yes. arguing over a bookstore with Meg Ryan.
Well, wouldn't you?
There's so much texting and emailing in that movie. It's infuriating. Like it's just like, I know people still love it, but it's one of my least liked, you know, everybody loves it movies. Ooh, everybody tell me a movie everybody loves that you do not like. Anyone can go first.
Ooh, interesting.
Any Tarantino.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's...
Sorry, trolls.
How much Tarantino have you had to watch just to get finally give up and say blanket, don't like him?
A lot, and I still watch them, and I do like a couple, but I can't stomach like a lot of violence. So when people talk about Pulp Fiction, like it's this fun rewatchable movie, I'm like, I don't know, it's not that for me. I can recognize that it's very good, but I don't ever want to see it again.
Yeah, sometimes it's weird in an enjoyable movie that's got fun stuff happening in it, that it's also like there's like real human suffering going on that like, you know, can kind of be brushed over, especially if all the characters are criminals.
Yeah, but I love You've Got Mail, and I will watch You've Got Mail about four times a year.
Right, but isn't it crazy corny for... Like how late in their careers? Like it's similar to Sleepless in Seattle, but so many years in between the two, you know?
Yeah, they should have matured a little more before this movie.
Well, it seemed they've matured backwards. I mean, to me, it just the movie just seems like they're both like I don't know. It's just very maybe I just don't like the structure of people being in each other's orbit and not knowing. You know, mm-hmm. not knowing who they're talking to. And
it's late in their career, but early in Email's career. So I think they just wanted to jump on that.
That's it
and
too,
have
I think.
Definitive AOL movie.
Yeah, that's what it ended up being. That's why I don't like it, I think, is that it's just too much. It's too much about early Email's, and it's definitely not, it's not predicting what's going to, you know, where Email's and and the internet is going to go.
Oh, those are my favorite kind of movies. Things that like badly predict where technology is headed. and how we're going to integrate it into culture. That's my shit.
Along the same lines, I like when someone hears a term that has to do with like the internet, and then someone makes a whole movie about it, and then that thing like firewall is an example, and like they made a Harrison Ford movie called Firewall because it sounded cool, but really it just means you can't get through to the website. It's like they made like a 90-minute action thriller called Fire. It's like a modem, the movie.
Yeah.
It just feels weird. It feels like, that sounds cool. Let's make a movie about it.
And they got Mary Lynn Rice Cub to be Chloe from 24. To be his, like, they didn't even have any, I mean, she's great, but like the lack of imagination to be like, no, let's just slap that character in there and get that actress to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's like Jexy. It's like, I mean, I adore Adam Devine, and like Funches is in it. It was a fun movie, but as I was watching it, I was like, ooh, this is not going to age good. Like, and probably, you know, 100 scripts about like Alexa, Siri, and becoming a romantic comedy got, you know, didn't get through, but this one did. And it's like, ugh.
I tried. Yesterday I put, a speaker... that you don't have to plug into your computer. I set one of those up and now it'll just turn itself on and say stuff. And it's really tripping me out.
You started writing a romantic comedy about it already.
It only talks to you while you're jerking off. Seems to know.
It's a bummer.
Wait. It can turn itself on. Are you saying Her was a romantic comedy?
I hate the movie Her. Fuck that movie too.
Oh, do tell, why?
It's like nothing that dudes love more than a disembodied woman.
yeah. I hate to quote.
Like, what if it's just a voice?
But that's the thing, Amy, is I think a lot of guys, especially myself, I know I have enough confidence to be like, you know, watch that movie and go, oh, that poor guy has to resort to that, you know? But I think a lot of guys have misplaced confidence that would make them not feel like that would be, you know what I mean? I don't think they're thinking of it as good. Get rid of the girl and just give me the voice.
Hmm.
Right?
I don't know.
You know, I thought it was, I remember watching it and thinking like, I mean, there's a lot of different ways it could go, but because I didn't think it made that situation look good or fun or in any sort of way. Like, I thought it was a trend.
No, it's very sad.
The romantic, the montage where they're out doing stuff together is, you know, pretty sad.
But it's funny that that's Joaquin Phoenix, because I feel like that character is the prequel. You know, it is like that's the great grandson of Joker, isn't it? Like, it's the same incel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he made an incel series.
Yeah.
Yeah, because also You Were Never Really Here. I get all these titles that sound sort of like that. It's not the Bob Dylan movie, but it's like the Joaquin Phoenix revenge thriller movie. That he's like a weird incel in that movie too.
It started with his role in Parenthood when he was a child addicted to porn.
Yeah, what kind of crazy kid would watch porn? That is insane.
You know, Doug, I'm going to pass on answering this question, I think.
I think, you know what? I'm pretty sure Parenthood is not an R-rated movie.
The Steve Martin movie?
It's promoted, I guess, something for the whole family. But Steve Martin gets into a car accident because Mary Steenburgen is blowing him.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. And then the cop is like, how did this happen? And he goes, show him, honey.
I forgot about that part.
I think it's PG-13, but I definitely watched it a lot as a kid. That could be a good recommendation for the kid. Oh, something for God. Everybody.
Yeah, it does. It's have an, you know, it's got an amazing cast, you know, and
but it's peak Diane Wiest.
It's not a kid's movie, though, parents.
No, it isn't. It's not a family movie, and I don't think. Yeah. Yeah, it's like Ron Howard was like, you know, showing it how it really is, but there's some rough stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I forgot that that's Ron Howard, and then they made the TV show version of it, too, only a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, the TV show was like, let's all cry about, you know, dying or something.
It's mostly unrelated to the movie, maybe for like the first few episodes, but
yeah,
no, but it's the same title and producers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was good though. It was a good show. It was just like one of those shows though, like you don't flip it on when you just want to, you know, have a nice time. You want, you need to,
yeah,
you need to schedule a cry or two.
That kick off like the This Is Us, like that was
era.
Like
the, yeah. Yeah.
Super sincere.
Absolutely. Era. Well, like, you know, 30
TV
something.
Cry porn.
Yeah.
What kind of kid isn't addicted to TV cry porn?
Well, and they, you know, that's, I feel it's creeped into every show. Like, I think every show that's got really cool action scenes really slows down to let all the actors cry for a while before the next action scene. I'm kind
Are
of
you talking specifically about CW shows.
Because I'm over that. Yeah. All of it is just like, we got to make these, you know, we've got to really delve into these characters. And it's just sort of like, well, I mean, they have bigger emotions than everybody. Can't they? Can't she cry while she's fighting somebody?
That is an issue. That's an issue of vision, though. That's an issue of how seriously I think sometimes the people who create these shows actually take their characters or the people who would be watching these shows. So it's like that whole balance where are people going to get this, or is it insulting people's intelligence? Like for us, it's like, this insults my intelligence sometimes because I'm already watching this. So it's kind of like, I know how people are, but not when they're wearing green with a bow and arrow, bro. Thrill me.
Yeah.
I don't need to go on a rant, but.
Well, late now.
And if you ask me, Grace and Frankie, not enough action scenes, okay? Yeah. Let's have some car chases once in a while.
Talk about, like, when you were talking about, like, being around worldly people, like, everyone on that, all those actors on that set is just, like, insane the amount of knowledge and worldliness they must have.
Oh, absolutely. And because I get to hear them because they were all on sets before phones in our pockets existed.
Right.
So they still like to just talk to each other. They still come in and they're like, hey, how are you? Like they talk about the news. They talk about politics. They talk about, like, they are always telling stories and just having a good time. And it translates to the show. I mean, you can see, you know, I think that's one of the biggest reasons the show works, is because we genuinely like have a good time when we're making it.
It's true. It's so good. It seems like you guys are having so much fun.
I'm glad that you like it, but you know, the other thing.
I love it. Yeah. I just start weeping. I love TV. What podcast is this?
But, you know, the thing is also, like, I always try to think about, I've been thinking a lot about, but you know, we can feel free to move on because this is like super philosophical, what I'm about to say. What do you think, Doug?
Go for it.
Well, you know, I just think about the eras of filmmaking, right? Because all of those people that you're talking about on my show, they came up in a very different Hollywood than the one that exists now. They predate it. So it's kind of like they're literally grandfathered in, like, because that's how that, like, and so it's like they were around before this streaming age. And there are people who became stars in the 90s and 1000s or oddies, whatever the hell they're called, that were around before the streaming age. But it's like they predate a lot of the things that are now required to be in the industry. And like, mm-hmm. It's the same movement with comedy as well, you know, but it's like now we're moving into this weird algorithmic decision era, you know, we're already in it. And I overheard the story on set once, a crew person who was like, oh yeah, his friend like sold a movie to Netflix, and she was the writer and director, and you know, did all these auditions to get some actor that she thought was the perfect lead for her film. And apparently they said, Netflix said no, because the algorithm doesn't really understand her in that kind of role. It has to be something that we've already seen her do. So it's kind of like people are getting typecasted by a computer into like a structure that feels like the old school RKO Paramount contract star kind of structure. Mm. And it affects the way that we can write, direct, and make movies. I will put the gavel down.
It's like how Nicole Byer keeps hosting things when she should literally be able to do whatever she wants and just act. Like, she's not just a host. She's hilarious. Put her in something.
People get like typecasted or stuck, or it's very, but you know, you're going to take whatever the work is that you can get because you've got to pay these bills. But it's like, it affects the way that people think about what even to make in the first place, I guess, and how to make it.
The key word in typecast is cast. I'll take it. Put me in as
John Gabris. He is available.
Yeah. Perverted janitor number 4. Like that's a, you know, that's on all over IMDb. Typecast me. I'm fine. New York blank. That's usually what I get.
He says I'm walking here. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
No. It's I'm loving all this. I'm loving all this so much that I'm just like, I'm gonna declare John is the winner today. But we're all winners because
I feel like I won
because we had so much fun and you know had managed to have some real conversations in the middle of my my game show, and you know. That's very much appreciated. Let's go through everybody, starting with our winner, John Gabris. Plug all your things, please.
I have several podcasts, but if you're a movie fan, I have a movie podcast called Action Boys. It's a Patreon podcast, but we have like 6 or 7 free episodes listed at actionboys.biz. Give it a listen. It isn't for everybody. Most likely not for you, but if it is, pay $5 a month and enjoy a few more. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Amy Miller.
Oh, yeah. Just follow me on Instagram, Amy Miller Comedy. I'm verified now, so you can trust the account. it's all safe.
That means you have to be real now. When you get the check mark, it means you have to be real. Yeah.
I was being so fake before and it's all changed. And then listen to my podcast, Who's Your God? We talk to comedians about religion. Doug won't be on it.
I mean, we can talk about my absolute disinterest in it if that is
That's
something
perfect.
You want to do. I don't want to, it feels so like much. People, it feels like so anybody much. That would listen to your show has some religion in their life. And I don't want to be insulting to people.
Not always. It's also just funny. So it's a lot of people that are just.
Oh, okay. Fans.
And a lot
right.
of your Doug Loves Movies fans.
I'll do it then. if it's funny, I thought you really got into. I thought your show was like Pete Holmes'
show. It's both.
Because he doesn't say any jokes. His show.
Please
is
don't ever say weird. That to me again or anything like it. Oh, help me. If you ever compare me to Pete again, our friendship is over.
Wait, Pete doesn't have any jokes in his podcast?
Yeah, no, I was trying to make a joke that his is serious and Amy's is a comedy show to get people over to Amy instead of Pete. But it backfired. Now people are dying to hear this guy that's terrible, according to Amy.
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I did not at all.
He plays when he's on my shows, he plays a character where he just acts like a terrible person and he thinks it's really funny. So that's why I also don't feel bad about talking about him. Cause it's a weird, cause he even says so out loud funny. To people after the show's over with, I don't know what comes over me when I'm on one of Doug's shows. I just become terrible. It's like, well, you're aware of it and you can't stop it. I can't have him on a Zoom show because nobody would get a talk.
Oh, because Zoom just defaults to the loudest person, and that's who you hear.
Kind of, yeah.
So it's just Pete the whole hour.
I would love to just, I should ask him to just record himself talking about movies for an hour and then put it out and just tell people, yeah, I just couldn't get a word in. Baron Vaughn waiting patiently again. What's going on with Grace and Frankie? Are they back for like one more season, I think I heard?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was enjoying the roast of Pete Holmes. yeah, all the Grace and Frankophiles out there in Doug Loves Movies land. No, we're supposed to do one more season. We shut down because of, you know, Panny D, which is also my new hip hop name. But like, we were like 5 episodes into a 16 episode final season. And whether or not we're going to do that, you know, remains to be seen. So, you know, people are opening up here and there. I know that our show is like, we don't want to be first. You know, they're old.
Well, I love that show, but I support the shutdown because you got a lot of American fucking treasures walking around that are elderly. Like, oh, let's just not risk it.
No. And they have to really take care of themselves, and they take very good care of themselves. And like, they get sick. Like, it's not a joke, you know? And, you know, so it's just kind of like wanting to be very, very considerate and safe. But, you know, so there's been plans and we've been in discussions. You know, I don't have any hard, you know, evidence of when we're going to go back or anything like that. You know, hard facts, I mean to say. But like, you know, I hear 2021, but we'll see. Gives, you know, every single day something else horrible is happening. It's just impossible to plan around. So, you know, who knows? Even though I've said, you know, a bunch of times.
That's the best we can hope for. But what, do you have anything cooking in the meantime that people can check out?
Great Debate is out there on Sci-Fi. Also, if you want to check out a show I did with my good friend Open Mike Eagle called Call and Response, you can go to our website. It's google.com and then put Call and Response in the search. And if you see my face, that's probably it.
Great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you to all of my guests. It's been so pleasant. And
thank you, Doug.
My plug is that next Saturday, so only 5 or 6 days from now, if you're listening to this right away, on October 3rd at 4:20, if you go to rushtix.com/Doug Benson, you can get a ticket to see me, Amy Miller, Jeff Tate, and Dustin Ibarra all doing stand-up, and then I'll hang around after my set and interact with everybody and smoke. It's called Doug Benson's Comedy Sesh, a one-time-only event that might be on sale for 24 hours after it happens if you can't watch it live. But I hope you can be there for the live thing.
Whoa.
Thank you again to John Gabris.
So fun. Wait.
What, Amy?
I said, so fun. Can't wait.
What, Amy? What?
Screaming at me.
I can't hear you when I am yelling.
Are you doing an impression of Pete right now?
No, I was like, that was going to be, you know, you do kind of excited voice when you're saying the last thing at the end of the show. And so I did that while you were trying to talk, and I apologize.
It's okay.
I always do a line from the end of a movie as the closing line on this show, and I forgot to do a little of that simple research before the show. Does anybody know the last line of a movie? I wonder what the last line is in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I only know famous last lines.
Right?
Movies.
Yeah, that one didn't really end on a famous line. It's probably just like, all right, Dot, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody have a famous one?
I think he says, leave it alone, Marty. It's the future.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
I think I did that one before, but it's always good. Wait, which one?
I just conflated like four, I think.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, because the first one he says, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the second one says, oh, Marty, the third movie's Western bullshit. All right, let's go with that. As always, the third movie is Western bullshit.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room